Well, my name was Edna Geraldine Howard. Married now for 50 years to Herbert Eugene Mitchum, who has passed on 3-4 years ago.
And you were born, you're going to be 80 now?
I'll be 80 on the 16th of August. Okay. Coming.
And can you remember your father's name?
John Sides Howard.
And your mother's name?
Margaret Emily Dagg.
And was your, what profession was your father? Was he a farmer? Or?
Yes.
And where were you born?
Well, not in Shawville here, but in Clarendon. Then there was no hospital here or anything, so I was born in their home, you know, and her mother and I guess his mother, I don't know whom, but I'm sure that's who it would be, because that the older women went out like that. They were midwives, they were supposed to be nurses, you know what I mean, but they were just women who did that kind of work. Older women had families of their own.
And where was your family home like?
It was just a farm. I was just on a farm. I walked 3 miles to school first, and then I come here to Shaw. I lived at the back of Yarm there at what they call Green Lake. Lovely lake altogether, mm-hmm. Beautiful spot. Well, that's where I lived, and then when I got out of Yarm School, which is a country school, I came here to Shawville and lived with my aunt and went to school in Shawville here.
And what was your aunt's name?
Mrs. George Finley. She's dead years and years now. Mm-hmm.
And what grades did you go to in...
I only got to grade 8.
And when
my mother was going to have another baby, and I had to go home and mind the baby and her. So that was it.
Mm-hmm. Were you the oldest?
Yes. The oldest of 10 and 8 of them boys. I don't advocate it for a skunk, to tell you the truth. I had a hard life. Young lad to wash here today and wash his clothes tomorrow and trail him to Sunday school or trail him someplace else. Boy, but I did it all and thought it was my duty in them days, but the girls don't do it today.
Why do you think they don't do it today?
Because I know they don't. I know bushels of girls and their mother takes care of the baby or that somebody comes in and babysits.
Mm-hmm.
Either her mother or someone else.
Do you think it's better that way, or do you think it was better, you know?
No, I believe it was better my way for this reason. When I got a baby of my own, it didn't mean a thing to me. I just picked it up the same as I was washing the dishes.
You knew how to...
Yes,
you know,
handle a baby and how much they could take, and mm-hmm. and many, many times minded them while they went shopping, which they had to come to Shawville, and it was about 8 miles, you see. With a horse and buggy, no cars in them days. Whatever.
Whereabouts was your farm out in Green Lake?
It was 3 miles from Yarm. If you pass through Yarm, if you're going to Lady Smith. How much of this township do you do?
Clarendon and Thorn.
Yes, well, Lady
so,
Smith is
yeah,
Thorn,
way
you
up to
yes,
yeah,
yes.
Lady Smith.
Well, my husband was a railroader, and he was brought up in Thorn and took a course in a brakemanship and was on for years.
Well, was he on when the new railway was built? Was he...
He was in Smith Falls. Yes.
And did he work on the railroad?
Not
though?
Here, no.
No, he didn't.
No, he worked there. He went there as a young chap, very young. And before this was all finished, it was... Then he came back. Look at that. Isn't that awful? And you can do as you like about these flies, but they come in. I was going to the SWAT, and still there's a few of them in.
Did he... Like after the railroad was here, he didn't come back to work on it?
No.
He always worked in Smith Falls.
Mm-hmm.
And after you, where were you married?
Chartres.
In Chartres?
Anglican Church.
And can you remember the minister's name?
Reverend Charles Reed.
And can you remember the date you were married on or the month?
Yes, I was married, and I don't know whether about the date now. Well, I'd be, no, not exactly, so I can't tell you that. I've forgotten that. I had a little stroke last year.
Mm-hmm. But that's all right.
Yes, yes. December the 22nd is the wedding day, but the date now.
How old were you married? Were you when you got married?
Just past 21.
Then we could figure that out, like. Can you remember the names of your grandfather or grandmother?
Oh, yes. Both my grandmothers were Hodginses on both sides, both my mother, and they weren't cousins, but they were far out cousins, not close, you know.
Mm-hmm.
One was Anne Dagg, and the other was Mary Ann Hodgins, but they were first cousins.
Mm-hmm. And your grandfathers?
And the grandfather was John Howard on my father's side, of course, and on my mother's side was William Dagg. She was a guy.
And did your grandparents live out in by Green Lake, or did they live?
No, one did, yes. My father's family lived near Green Lake, right near Green Lake, and my mother's family lived at Charteris, below Charteris Lake Peace, on a lower route there. I got the mail brought in to them.
And were they from Ireland, or did
I think that, yes, for sure, Grandfather Dagg was right from Ireland, but Grandfather Howard came out here when he was very, very young, I think just in her arms.
Mm-hmm.
And then he wouldn't be considered. He was Irish descent, of mm-hmm. course, but he wouldn't be considered born in Ireland, you see.
And can you remember any of your further back relatives like, or any stories that you've heard about them when they came out from Ireland or anything
well,
like that?
Well, they had a tough time, I think, here. They lived in huts, you know what I mean? Well, just little log houses and that, very small ones, I believe, and eventually, I think the Howards, that's my father's people, bought a place right near Green Lake, and it was very light, sandy land. They didn't have much of a life on it, and, you know, the food they could raise was only certain things, and I don't think they made much of a go of it. I mean, they lived in a log house, I know that, because for years and years it was sat there. They built another one, but then the little old one burned. And they would only be living in, or the whole of the family would only be living in a place as big as this room, you see. Because I remember the one they built, and it wasn't, they were always saying, no, that they, it wasn't near as big as the one they had, you see, before. And some of them said it was just about the same size, just about a bed in one end and a stove in the other. It's just about it.
You sometimes wonder how they survived through the winter.
Yes,
you know.
Well, yes, but you see, what they did was they got a piece of ground from the government to build on. It didn't cost them anything.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, they didn't pay taxes at all. And they cut the wood off of that and built the little place, you see, and the limbs and all that made firewood. And it was really easy, in a sense, you had a good fire all night. And,
mm-hmm.
and you buy a cord of wood now, it only does you about 3 or 4 days, sure, if you done that way. Because they'd fire all night. And they had, there's a couch now, and that, some of them said that couch is 100 years old. I doubt it very much, because nothing broken about it or anything, but it's been covered, I think, a couple of times. But they used to have them, that pulls out, you know, and makes a bed. And then underneath there's a trunk that you can put all your regalia in, if you want to, and shove it back under mm-hmm. it again. So that some of the things they had in them days were very handy.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I guess that, let's say, when you have to do a thing to make it comfortable, you do it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have to, you don't. If you can go and buy it, you hand out the cash if you got it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they didn't have the cash, you see, they come from Ireland. He said, Grandfather told me they work all day for 50 cents. From before daylight, lots of times in the morning. And he was, he died at... about 80-something.
He lived a long time then for working
yes.
that hard.
You know, I'd be 80
mm-hmm.
on the 16th of the next month. What do you think of that?
You're pretty spry for 80.
Well, I haven't been spry, though. I've been under doctor's care now for 6 months. And I had a light stroke.
Mm-hmm.
See, I have a little store out at Thorn Lake. My daughter-in-law was in it, and she was here this afternoon, and she says, well, Ma, you look better than you've been looking for a long time. And I said, maybe I do, but, and I feel better, of course, too.
Mm-hmm.
I eat well and sleep well now, but I have a tendency, and anybody, I guess, that has a stroke, suppose it isn't a very heavy one, if I were going out and you shouted at me, you say you're over there, I wouldn't know which way you're shouting, you know. I'd have to just stop and see, and then maybe if I was going to see you, I'd be doing this. didn't bother me anything, you see. Mm-hmm. The doctor says that's a nervous condition. That you get too rattled about whatever's mm-hmm. happened, it's too sudden, you see. So a lot of things can go wrong with the human body. Eh? Mm-hmm. But I do very nicely. I live alone here. I have everything I want.
Can you remember the first time that you had a doctor when you were growing up? Can you remember
when I had the scarlet fever.
And how
Dr. Armstrong. I'd be 12 or probably 15.
And did most of your family get the scarlet fever?
Yes, everybody did it, and we lost a brother. We were in a long piece from navigation. Well, not a terrible long piece, but then it was a long piece because mm-hmm. it was bush, you know. You see, my father bought this. There was a house on this property, and when he got married, he bought this property, and then mother and him went there to live, and of course, it wasn't as open as it should have been. We had to go to school, I presume we had a mile of bush, a whole mile of thorough bush, you know. It was where they cut wood out of, and it was a good road on it and all that, you know, but we had to walk it, mind you. We walked 2 miles to school, we walked the Yarm, if you know where Yarm is. Mm-hmm. So, well, that's where I went to school, and then from there to Shaw to the old high school out there. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get very much there because I had to go home to find a baby, and that mm-hmm. baby was Elgin, and he's gone. He's in the grave for 3-4 years now.
Are there any of your brothers or sisters still alive?
Oh, yes. My brother's just gone out there now, gone out to his cottage. My daughter-in-law was in here, and she took him out in the car. And that's one for sure. And my sister is alive yet. And
can you give us their names?
Yes. This that's gone out is Hubert Howard. I was a Howard, you see. Mm-hmm. And the girl that was in here, that was my daughter-in-law. My son's name, of course, is Mitchum, and she's Mrs. Mitchum. She took him out in the car. And then there's Selzy Howard, married to Verna Wilson, school teacher. And Morris Howard, married to, what's her first name now? But she's a Finan anyway, Finan girl. Oh, what's her name? Isn't that funny? You forget?
That's all.
They live in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And he works for CPR. And I guess that's all of them that's here now. Mm-hmm. Hubert, of course. Hubert, I mentioned him before, but he has had lots of girls, but he never married anyone. He liked the girls. He still likes them. He denies it, but he likes them. The boys all do it,
yeah. Yeah. Can you remember some of your recollections of the first time that you went to school, your first teacher, or what it was like?
Ruth Ann Thompson was our first school teacher. And after her was Willetta Armstrong, who married a Murray and had 2 children. And he died, and his father, I don't know what happened to her, but not too awful long ago, she was still living. So they lived in Onslow, and I've just lost track of her.
And what sort of subjects would you take at school?
Well, mostly reading and writing in. You had your choice of what you wanted to take. And it's not like now that you have a book and you have all these, you got to do. Well, I was supposed to, my father said that, no use of taking a whole lot of things, Edna, and not having anything to do with them. Just take enough to be able to be read and write really well. So that's what I took up, and arithmetic, of course. Mm-hmm. And that's what I took up. And then, in later years, I studied milliner trade and worked at the milliner. I had a shop in my own.
Oh, did you?
Yes, I did.
Whereabouts was it?
Right in Shawville here on the main street.
Can you tell us something about, like, the millinery trade, what it was like in Shaw?
Well, now it was very good, quite a demand for it, and you made the hats, you know, a lot of them, and I was really good, even I say it myself, I was a crackerjack at it. I could...
And whereabouts?
It was up, you know where the hotel is, mm-hmm. do you? Well, it was past that, in a place that Peter Smiler had a shoe store. And I think that's along the place, then there was a fire after that, you see, and they built along there, but I think that's the place that we were in the shop.
Was it near the United Church?
Yes, almost opposite. A little at this side, but mm-hmm. I worked for Mrs. Chamberlain there. Like, I mean, the hats for her and trim and that sort of thing. And made some of them, and we bought some of them in boxes and so on.
Would the ladies, like, really go in for them around Christmas or spring, or is that?
Well, usually in the spring. And people wore things a lot longer then than they do now. Like, I mean, they take everything out of it. They really took everything out of them. And the springtime, you see, is when you wear a hat a little more, mm-hmm. especially. And in the wintertime, of course, if you have a felt hat, it does the whole season, the whole year, winter, I mean.
And how much would you sell a hat for?
A hat would all be $2.50 or $3.
You couldn't buy one for that now?
Oh, my God. I make my own.
Do you?
Yes, I'll show you something.
Can you remember, like, any funny little incidents that happened when you were going to school, or anything you especially remember about your school days?
Well, nothing, except we didn't have very much to play with. I went on horseback some of the time, too, to school. We had, Frank, we called him Frank, and we tied him in the school shed, and everybody mauled him. Doesn't matter whether you're under him or top of him, he didn't care. And we gave him a bite of oats at dinner time, and sometimes he didn't get any either, too. So when we go home, then we just let him go on the grass.
In winter, how would you get to school?
We didn't go, and we never got going in the winter. We were 3 miles from the school. We'd have been up to our ASS in snow, because there was no road in there, only a way around. The way that they drew the wood and logs and things like that to bring it out to the mill here, you see, was a really wind up. It's far too far for us to walk. So that we had we used to cross another man's land. We got permission, you see. My father went and asked Mr. Kelly if we could cross on his land. He said, sure. And we walked across, and our two brothers and I, to school. And that way we got a fair good education. And then I come here to dance, you see, and that's Shawville.
Can you remember your teachers in Shawville? Any of them?
No. I don't remember any of their names. Miss Smart was one that I went to, but I don't remember them. This last while, a lot of them things has gone. You know, I was trying last night to remember now. I had a Sunday school teacher. I thought an awful lot about her. And I couldn't even remember her name, not her first name. Mm-hmm.
But your memory is still pretty good, you know.
Yes. But there's maybe that now I'd say we'd be talking about something today, maybe the day after tomorrow. I think that would come right to me. Mm-hmm. But as a rule, I'm not. But I've been sick this year, practically all year. See, I have a store out at Thorn Lake where there's 100 cottages. And I've been there for 10 years on my own, alone. My husband's dead for 20 years. And now, I wasn't out this year at all. I wasn't able to go. And I never was even scared or anything about anything. Not anything bothered me that way. And now the least little thing makes me nervous about tackling it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Now, even the fact of printing or writing this here, I'm not half as good a writer as I was because I shake a bit. Mm-hmm. And I suppose that everybody has to come through that.
Oh, yeah. Your memory's still good. You can still answer most of these questions, like, really good.
Oh, yes. I'm not too bad about that. You know? If I get a bit of time, you know what I mean. I think that what's wrong today with a lot of people is the hurry-up business, don't you think? Because it is a hurry-up job, this life, and we're only hurrying on to the whole. Because you know yourself, it's hardly time enough to do anything.
Is that what you think the big difference between, like,
Yes, today's children and ours. Yes, that's they're chased too hard.
We just don't take time for.
No. And then if you're not hurrying yourself, there's someone else hurrying you. You see. Mm-hmm. Why? Yes, I'm sure of that. And there's more nervous people now than there ever was before. I'm sure anybody will agree with that. because I never figured my mother or father ever had a nerve in their body. The horses had run away. He turned them into the trough to give them a drink, you know, and the first thing you'd see is a couple, one of them going anyway, and he'd have them apart, you know, he'd have a team, mm-hmm. and he'd have them apart. You've seen a team together. Well, to take them apart, and one fellow be heading for the building, and he shouldn't go in there, for maybe there was calves or something in that place he was going to go into. I'm sure it wouldn't hurry him a bit. Careful of them. Today they'd be shouting and roaring and shouting. No, I think it's an awful difference. It's an awful difference. And I do think, too, in this, you mightn't like, you too, of you lasses, that the young people do not care as much about what they do today as we did when we were kids. We were afraid of our lives and doing things wrong.
You mean we don't listen to our parents as much, or?
Oh, I think you do that, but it doesn't sink in. You listen all right. Mm-hmm. You don't dare do anything else. But you don't, you listen and do as you like.
Do you think of the moral rate, like our morals aren't as high as yours, or that sort of thing?
Well, you're not as frightened about things, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You take it as a matter of course. But them days you would get a hiding if you didn't just simply... I often think about these things, you know, they'd question you, you know. Especially even now, you take kids going to a dance, and I was a girl with all those boys, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There, and if you go, you always feel a bit, I was on the backward side because of the boys, and yet they would protect me if anything happened, you know, we went to dances, you know, well, after I got to be about 16, and I remember this one time, you know, my father said this, about the first boyfriend I ever had was Harley Horner. And Harley Horner doesn't live far from here right now. He's not living now, but his people. They were very fine folks, and he drove into my place, to my home one time. I met him out at different things and walked around them at a picnic and that sort of thing, you see. And I'd say I was 16 even then. Today the 16-year-old girls are sort of very like.
Mm-hmm.
They don't ask their parents what they're going to do. Well, anyway, I went to this picnic with my oldest brother. And it was a 12th of July picnic. I don't know what you are, Protestant, Catholic, or what.
Protestant.
Yes, well, I am too. We all are. Anyway, this Horner fella come along, and I'd been out with him at the picnic, and then on Sunday he come to take me out for a drive with a span of black horses. Oh, swanky pair. Oh, and a nice buggy too. And I had told Mother all about it, that I'd met this guy. And I was going up, I went to school, high school in Pembroke, at my aunt's. And she was very, very, I had to be in at such a time. And I couldn't keep a boyfriend in the house very long, and all of this, and I was 16. And anyway, when this fella came in, this Horner came in, I was going with this guy up the north, up at Pembroke, as I tell you, but I was at home then, at Chartres, and I was going here to show him school. So anyway, in comes Harry Horner, a nice chap too, with a lovely black team. He had asked me on the street here Saturday night if he'd come out on Sunday, that I would, if I'd go out with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that, I said, yes, not go out too late, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, when we started out, he was there with the horses, and they were pawing and rearing, you know what horses mm-hmm. do if you don't start just when you take. And my father called him by name and told him to get off the property. And he said, me there ready to go. And Mother just told me to go.
So you went with him, or you?
I did, yes. And never was sorry, because he wasn't very long in this world, he was gone.
Mm-hmm.
So things are funny, or life is a very funny thing. I felt awful bad about it, because a young kid, I was, you know, a country place is not like the city. Do you live in the city?
No, I live here.
Oh, you live in Shaw? Mm-hmm. Oh, for God's sake, what's your name?
Stones. My family used to own the flower shop.
Oh, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And who's in it now? Do they not?
No, we don't have it anymore. There's another one now. It's not ours, but...
An aunt of his had a store.
And what sort of things would they have besides
store? Well, they had everything that you'd want. I mean, for food, most that people eat them days, sugar and tea and no coffee. Nobody drank coffee them days. And eggs and cornmeal and oatmeal and that kind of thing. Or a spool of thread if you wanted it, black or white. And that kind of stuff. And rolled oats. That's the kind they kept.
Well, would you get your groceries there or would you come into Shawville to get your groceries?
Oh, well, we did it both ways. My father used to draw wood in here.
And where would he take it?
Well, he'd take it up to where the Dean and Merritts was there, that store, you know, the Hamness Burning.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he'd take his horses and a load of wood in there, and there's a shed there for that purpose, you know, for horses. Take it up there, and someone come in and buy it. And he'd go out and canvas, you might call it, ask somebody, do they want to buy a load of wood? Do they want to buy a load of wood? And, well, I look at your wood. He'd ask a bit of work, and then he'd sell his load of wood and go in and buy. Take back. Except for that, now we bought up the Argus, whatever they'd have, you know, but they were those things. They didn't sell meats, that's one thing. We always needed meat until fall, and then we killed for ourselves.
Can you remember any of the other stores, like that you shopped in Shawville, or anything like that?
Oh, yes. WA's, same as yet, what they call the IGA, and how many more? T.W. Wilson was a man that sold boots and that, and it's there yet. They do it yet. And who else had a store now?
Can you remember, like, either the Pontiac House or the Russell House?
Yes.
Or?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Did you ever, like, go to dances or anything there? Or?
No.
No.
I never danced till I was quite a big grown-up girl, because I didn't. My mother and father didn't believe in it at all. Well, they thought this about it. A lone girl, you see, I had no sisters until the second last one, and she's married now a long time too, and there was eight of us, 10 altogether, two girls, 8 boys and 2 girls, and I was the oldest of the bunch, so I don't advocate it for a school. She's pretty hardy, she'd take pretty near anything. But anyway, when we had 3 miles, as I say, to walk. We used to go into Mrs. Argue's store. It was an elderly lady who kept it, what they call John Argue. Like Tom, you mean Tom Argue here, and Jack Argue, don't
you? I know
you?
Jack, yeah.
Yes, well, that Tom is Jack's father. And this John Argue that had kept the store at Yarm's, right near Yarm's school, was Jack's uncle. So, you see, he's, that's the Argues that they come from. I never see him now. I never see Jack Harvey now. Mm-hmm. He used to buy lumber and now he doesn't. What does he do, I wonder?
Not much, I don't think.
No, I don't think so.
No. No. Well, when you did go to a dance, where would you go to a dance?
A hall, usually. At the Chartres, there's a hall beside the Anglican Church that was put up for bazaars and ladies' guilds and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And then they'd hire it for a dance, you know. $5. Get it for $5 a night.
And would you pay an admission to go to the dance, or?
Oh, yes, you had to pay to get in, yes.
How much would you pay to go?
Usually $1 for a couple, 50 cents each, you see.
And did you usually go in couples, or would you go, like, just by yourself and then maybe meet
somebody? Oh, no,
there?
No. Usually somebody would come along and, see my brother next to me. There's only 1 year and 8 months between us, and he'd be likely taking somebody in. And they'd all club together, and a bunch of them would go together in a load, you know, maybe an express load and a team. And there's a big shed there, the Anglican Church shed, and they'd tie their horses there and leave them there till the dance was over. And then,
what sort of music would you have?
Violin and a piano.
And you would like waltz to it and square dance?
Yes, square dance and round dance and all the rest of it. Then they should go to buying something for the hall, you see, but the money that was spent in there. It was a good place to go, and it kept lots of money. My husband played there. He was a musician. He played there for years. Violin.
Well, when you went to church, when you were a young girl, what church did you go to?
To the mall. We had out there that what they call the Horn Rites,
mm-hmm.
Loud people, you know, but the good people, United, Anglican, and Pentecost.
Did you go to all of them? Or?
Well, not all of them, but I mean, we mixed up. I was confirmed Anglican and married Anglican, and all my family is Anglican. But if there was anything going on in one of them, everybody was there. Everybody was to help.
Mm-hmm.
If they had a social affair at any of them, we all made pies and took them and made sandwiches mm-hmm. and that sort of thing.
Did you go to church every Sunday? Or?
Oh, yes, yes.
Can you remember your first minister that you could remember?
Charles Reed, Reverend Reed, Reverend Charles Reed.
And he was
Reed.
An Anglican?
Yes, he was an Anglican, yes.
Did you ever meet Bishop Horner? Or?
No.
No.
No. Because he didn't go out there at all.
Where did he stay, like, to
Well, he must be, was around here, yes, yes. And more to Radford, up around Radford, you know, because
mm-hmm.
there was a lot of Horner breeding up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw him lots of times, you know, in the village.
Can you remember, when you used to live in Shawville, any of the old things around Shawville, like the cheese factories or anything like that?
No, I didn't know anything about them. I lived with an elderly aunt, and I got out very little, and
mm-hmm.
just to school and that, and that would be it.
And the brickyard, can you remember anything about that?
The what?
The brickyard.
Oh, yes.
Which one would that be? The one down down here, like?
Yes,
that
yes.
One?
The Hodgins.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, oh yes.
And do you know if there was an old mill where the dam is down here? Just down here at the...
I'm not sure about that. I think there was, but I'm not a bit sure about that, because here was another thing about, you know, you were supposed to stay pretty well put them days, and that's what I did when I was going to school, because I didn't get a chance to do anything else. And then as I came in here after being married, of course, you were busy, you know, all of a sudden your own house to look after and
mm-hmm.
all that kind of thing.
Well, when you moved in, after you were married, did you come to this house right
no,
here?
No, I didn't. No. This house was only built a few years.
Where did you live when
I lived? First of all, I lived in Montreal for a while, a very short while, and then in Ottawa for a little while. My husband was a brakeman on CPR,
mm-hmm.
and then he had an injury and couldn't stay on, so he went off, and we went out onto a farm near Chartres. And we bought a little place out there then, a little farm for ourselves,
mm-hmm.
and I still have it. My husband's dead for 20 years.
Well, when you had, is that where you have the store up there, or is that somewhere else?
No, but the store's at our cottage, where we had a cottage.
Uh-huh.
We had a cottage, and I still have it too.
Mm-hmm. Can you remember the sash and door factory?
Yes.
Could you tell us anything about it?
Not too much, because I never went to buy anything there. My husband always did that by the side of the buying, if you wanted windows or outside doors or something like that. But then that was R.G. Hodgins first. Well, I knew them. I used to sit in the guild with her lots of times. Because here, you know, we went to both Anglican Guild and United Guild. And I am Anglican. I was confirmed Anglican and married Anglican and so on. And it's not like a place where, you see, everybody mixes here. There's no separate people at all. They mix and go to everything. If there's a guild up there, that United Church now, all the Catholics and Anglicans and everything else will be there to do something or buy something and so on.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very congenial spot.
Can you remember Mac McGuire of the Russell House?
Not too much, no. When I came here, he wasn't in it, you see. And I think Moody was the first fella that I knew here.
Mm-hmm.
And very little did I have to do with the hotel, and still very little.
Mm-hmm.
And as I go on, it'll be less as far as that course, because I never go near the darn thing. I never, I don't believe I've ever eaten a meal in this place here. No, I haven't, not since then, these people came, no. The only thing we'd ever go to in the hotel would be a banquet, you see.
What sort of banquets?
How much?
What sort of banquets?
Oh, any kind. Some of them would hire the hotel for the banquet, you know, like some organization. And then there'd be the people who'd patronize that. You know. Mm-hmm. And my husband wasn't a drinker or anything, that we'd be getting to going to some place where they served a lot of liquor. It'd be something smooth, I mean, that we went to, and that's the only things we ever took in.
Can you remember any of the fires, like the 1906 fire?
Well, I can't remember the dates now. I remember them all because I lost a lot. I lost a team of horses, or my husband and I, 4 pigs and 2 cows.
And which fire was that?
That was...
the one that began in...
One of the very first ones that was in here, that it was of any great size. And then, you see, those things go out of your mind and you never think of them.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea just what the date of that one was. But we were that time living in Ernie McCrae's house, and I can't tell you what the date is because that's gone.
Is that on Back Street? Or?
No, it's almost on opposite the IGA.
Ah.
And we were living right there. We lost 2 horses and that and a cow. Then days people kept your own cow, you didn't get no bottleneck. I guess that was better.
Well, did you have to like protect your house yourself that day, or?
You took out an insurance, yes. Yes, you always took out an insurance.
Mm-hmm. Can you remember fighting the fire that day, like, or your
well,
husband
fighting
the fire?
Well, the only thing we had no time to fight it at all because we were waking right out of our beds in the middle of the night. And the Ernie McCrae's was that's right in front of the IGA, right where that big brick building is. That's where we were living, right there on that main street. And then beside us was Ernie McCrae, the proprietor, and they started throwing things into our building, you know, where we were sleeping, mm-hmm. thinking we weren't getting up, and we were up all right, but didn't want to, we weren't ready to get out, you see. And it started from somebody, the next on one, the other side, on one side was a store and the other side was a hotel.
Is it the one that started in the Russell House?
Yes, it did indeed, right beside there, because they were in there drinking all evening. We knew that, mm-hmm. but they had done it before, you know, and nothing happened.
Do you know how it started or anything
No, I guess they just happened to maybe sit down and leave a match going, mm-hmm. or a box of matches or something. But there was 2 men that put in all evening there, all night too. Mm-hmm. And it was an awful disaster altogether. Live animals, we saw our horses going out, a team, a lovely brown team that time, and good waters, and we used to be showing up the fair. And I could drive either one of them, really. We saw them trying to get up. The back end of them fell down first. And we were way out along the piece from them too, and we couldn't get up. They were that badly burned. It was a dreadful sight, and I was a long, long time getting up.
Can you remember the Mike Murphy murders?
Mm-hmm.
Could you tell us a little bit about it or anything?
Well, I didn't know much about it, but that was... they were down, way down here, mm-hmm. you know, on the main drive to Bristol, like, as we were going on that road. And that's where they had a kind of a hut there, him and his wife, and he used to be there, I thought.
Did he?
Oh, yes, and get drunk. And I don't even remember too much about it, only that I know, I knew all about it then, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I never let it get stuck into me too much for fear it would bother me. But I know that he was an awful character, terrible character. She was nice, a nice person, but you'd wonder what ever made her. I don't know whether she was ever even married to him. She probably just living, and I couldn't tell you that. But it's a long time ago.
So you weren't surprised, where you said he was such a bad character?
No, I wasn't at all, because he used to beat her something terrible. He used to say to her when she'd have, she used to beg a bit, you know. most people like them do. Not now. They don't do it now. But anyway, she'd be going home with probably a sack under her arm or something. And if he was in somebody's place and he could see her going, he'd say, "What's in that bag, Annie?" That was her name.
Can you remember the trial? Was it held here, or was it held in Bryson, or
the what?
The trial?
Oh no, it was held at Campbell's Bay first, and then I think on to Hull. I think he had to stand something there too. I just don't know really all about it.
Can you remember like the railway and the bonus controversy?
No.
When we got no.
No. I wasn't interested, you see, and I never. Then things never sank in. I no doubt heard about it, but it's just gone. I couldn't tell anything about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, when your children were born, were they born in like the hospital or
there
in your house?
There was no hospital here at home. I only have one. I have one son, that's all. And he was born here in Charlton.
And the doctor was who?
Yes, Dr. Lafayette.
Lafayette? Yeah. And besides the time when you had scarlet fever, can you remember any other time you would have had gone to the doctor, and what he would use, like when you had scarlet fever, what did he do to cure you?
Well, no, I don't even remember that. I don't remember what he gave us something, whatever it was, and Mother looked after that end of it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Whatever it was, and I know we had to take it on a spoon, but what, something to bring out a rash. You see, this rash goes with scarlet fever, and I figured that we lost a brother there, you see. And we couldn't go out anymore, we were quarantined. We couldn't go out even to see him buried. But Mr. Thomas Andrelia took care of all that. He was one of the best men that any country ever knew. That's what he was. And his family too. They were a wonderful family. Mrs. Ray Wilson is one of his daughters.
The activities that you would do during the summer, would it mostly be just working on your farm or?
Well, yes, and picking berries and looking after fowl. We had always had ducks and sometimes geese too, and then we had sheep and we had milking to do every night and every morning, mm-hmm. and bringing the cows.
Did you make your own butter? And
oh yes, churn your own butter. In a churn as high as, from the floor to the knob of that door would be where the lid would be, and then there'd be a handle sticking out of it up to the shoulder of that sweater there about. And then you'd be dashing, you'd dash that cream until that. Did you ever see it going?
On TV I have.
Yes, well now that's what we had to do, and then the butter would come and Mother would make the butter and we'd drink the buttermilk. But the buttermilk, we had a milk house, an old log building. I'd say it would be as big as this room we're in. Or no, maybe just about from the along by the table here and to the couch and there. And we put it in there, in that place to stay, the milk house. It was stone. My father built it. And oh boy, if you were in there for a little while, you'd nearly freeze. And it was great to drink, you know. Mm-hmm. I couldn't take a drink in the milk house. Paid for it. Never think of it.
No.
Of any kind of milk, to tell you the truth, I don't drink.
Did you have any hobbies or activities which we don't have like today? Or which we don't really think of today, like we usually, our hobbies are mostly reading or watching television
I do that too, you see, even yet.
Mm-hmm.
I love to read and I love to watch television. And, well, we didn't have any televisions, and there was no such a thing around this part of the country, as far as I know, and I was even up at Cache Bay and Pembroke and them places, because I've been out in both places. I went to school a while in Pembroke too. I skipped around and got a little bit of education here and there. Well, anyway, I never knew anything about television.
Can you remember the first time you had television?
No. The first time I had it, it's a good long time ago. But I can't just recollect what time. But we had it as soon as anybody had them, you know, when they were their age first.
Where would you buy appliances like that? Would you have had to go to Ottawa for them?
Oh, my, no. They got them here in town. The place was just burned up there, you know.
G.F. Hodges?
Yes. They were the first usually to get them kind of things. And then when McCready got into the business, he was great for picking up that kind of stuff, too. anything that was new or different.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on over there?
I don't know.
Banging the door. They've got a couple of hands. What's the best thing?
So the hobbies that you had are mostly the same as what we have now, or?
Oh yes, making a bit of clothes for yourself, and maybe figuring out a hat or something, and knitting, probably making something for Christmas. That was good.
Did you make most of your own Christmas
presents?
Oh
yes. Buying a pattern of some kind and make something for Christmas. That was either knit it or now my father used to shoot deer for food, you know. And then there was always a hunting season, the same as there is now. And he'd try in the fall and get a sort of one. Then he'd get the hide tanned, and it's beautiful and pliable, you know, just mm-hmm. like kid. Well, we'd try and make mitts, and I had many a pair of them. I've got several pairs now. That was the thing we did during winter time.
Mm-hmm.
That and my father's brother had right next to us, not too far, we'll say half a mile or so, in the country place then it was then. And he had an ale, and my father took several. We couldn't afford to buy it to Baldwin, you know. And we had lovely hills there. There still is lovely hills on my property. It's been turned over three or four times now to different owners. But he would saw the lumber and get a great big slab about this wide, big log, you know. And then he'd bring it home and he'd put it in a boil of water for days and days. And then he'd take it out and bend it and we'd have a toboggan. And that was our toboggan.
Mm-hmm.
Today they'd go along and give it $10 for a toboggan.
But that one did you just as well as
yes, and we did it for years.
Mm-hmm.
And then he used to whittle these what you'd call pick sticks, you know. They'd be that high and pointed well to go into the crust, you know, and a good handhold on them too. And one would be ahead steering and the other be behind, you see, to stop it if there was anything you had to stop on.
Mm-hmm.
And we would load on three or four of us on that. And he used to make them about that wide.
Did you go to any sleigh parties or
yeah.
sleigh
No, there
rides
was no such a thing then. None whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If you were at a party, it was a wedding or not many birthday parties, but weddings, yes. You'd get going to a wedding. Not always either, because if there was a small baby, mother didn't want to take him. I stayed on my mind when she went. And dad. But no such thing as sleigh parties either. But we, as I tell you, we used to go at nights, you know, moonlight nights. Mother and dad would be reading in the house or doing some, maybe figuring up something that he should have bought or shouldn't
mm-hmm.
or did buy and so on. And she'd be knitting and she'd be helping him then too to figure in. And we'd get out and get away, you see, and get onto the hills with these toboggans. They just looked like a toboggan that they're buying, only they were heavy because they'd be about that thick, you see.
They're an awful lot more sturdy.
Hmm?
They were a lot sturdier.
Oh, you could run against a tree or anything at all, and you might break your own neck, but you wouldn't break it. I tell you, you wouldn't break the toboggan, no, no. And you know, I honest to God believe we had more fun than the kids of today. I do believe we had. We didn't even care for the cold or anything. You know. You'd rig up so darn warm. In a country place, you didn't care what you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have to have anything special. We went. Come in that hungry, you'd be just starving. And mother would whack up bread and milk, that's what you got to go to bed on. Just bread and milk. But it was good old cow's milk, it wasn't no.
And homemade bread.
And homemade bread with a loaf that high, that's for sure. And then to scat to bed and get up when you're called.
What time would you go to bed usually? Like?
Oh, 9, half past.
And in the mornings would you be up quite
you'd
early?
Have to be up about half past 6.
Would that be to help, like, with the milk?
Yes, and drive in the boys to go for the cows, you see. And by that time, I'd have the dishes washed, and maybe the sweeping, and maybe a baby to dress. And mother'd be here washing up the pails and getting the separator ready. And everybody has their job. Everybody going.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody. And then get your clothes on now and get to school. This time you're going. You get a ride with Jimmy if you get down in time. And Jimmy was drawing the milk. and Jimmy was a mile from us, but if we could make that mile, we'd get onto the back of his milk wagon and get right to school.
Jimmy who? What was his last name?
Jimmy Tracy.
And where would he be bringing the milk to?
He'd be taking it to the cheese factory up here at the other end of Shaw.
And did you send your milk, or did you just have enough?
No, we just used enough. We kept pigs anyway, you see, and you didn't send your milk to them. You give it to them, whatever you have, because then we kill our own pork, and kill our own chickens, and kill our own raised turkeys in the fall, and that's what we'd have now. Oh, it was a great time when fall came, because we'd probably have 50 turkeys, all big wallopers, you know, and then there'd be a butchering day, and there's somebody would go to help. Some men come and help, you see, or sometimes some women too. Mother had a sister that used to come. And when them would be marketed, you see, everybody got something new.
What sort of things, like new clothes? Or?
Well, a new pair of stockings, or a new sweater, or a new skirt, and material for a new skirt, if you make it yourself, that would be new. And maybe a necklace, anything at all, just something that Mother would never forget, you see.
Mm-hmm. And where would he sell it? Where would he sell the turkey?
Oh, to Shawville here. Come to Shawville. Or ship them to Ottawa. Lots of times they were shipped to Ottawa and sometimes to Pembroke, because Mother had a sister there and she looked after them. They were bright people then, my days, mind you, to get doing the things they did do. Because it isn't a bit like it is today at all. Not one bit.
You mean we don't get around as easy, or
no? I think we get around easier. We get away with a lot of things. I mean to say, but we don't. I don't think we enjoy it as much. We don't put all we have into it. You know what I mean? We're doing it because we have to. Something like that. At least that's my idea. But maybe I'm off wrong. But I don't think that the young people of today enjoy the things that that we did when we were. We wanted. We done that because. Whatever we were doing at that time, we were getting out of something that was worse, you know. And that was a big lift.
Mm. Can you remember, like, besides driving in the buggy, can you remember your first train ride? Like, did you go to Ottawa on the train any time?
Yes. Oh, yes. Quite often, yes.
And how much would it cost to go on the train?
About $1.
And was it quite something like to go to Ottawa, like,
well,
for the
no,
day?
Well, no, I never was fussed up about it much. I had an aunt there, too, you see, and another aunt in Pembroke when I went to both places, because my father dragged me to Portage, you see, and I took the train there and go to Pembroke.
Did you make most of your clothes?
Oh, yes.
From
I was 15.
And did you have a sewing machine, or would you have
Mother had a sewing machine right from almost from the start, because you have to have a big family. She made the young man's trousers, and so did I. Because you could often pick up a piece of material, you know, you can't even yet, a nice skirt, make yourself a nice skirt.
Mm-hmm.
And that,